5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
And we're back. Farrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia with you. Scotty on vacation all week. 844-843-6879. Hour number two here as we get going. We'll talk some Mac football opening up tomorrow night. We'll do a little MLB. We're going to give the business to Deontay Wilder. Plenty of stuff to do in hour number two. Mafia, usually on Tuesday and Wednesday, like, I'll go through the FanDuel website and they'll reset like all of their like season long props and things like that. And I try to find something that I can, like, each week throw a couple bucks on that has a little bit of value on it. And I found it already tonight, just in the break. I'm like, I am betting this. DK Metcalf, Mafia, to have the most receiving yards at plus 500. How about that one? You want to know how far? He's 24 yards behind DeAndre Hopkins for the league lead. And he's been ripping it up. I just feel like they throw the ball so much. That seems like good value to me. 5-1 on DK Metcalf after the most receiving yards. Go with me, Mafia, on this one. Come on.
Yeah, I'll ride it with you, especially considering some of the guys who are in front of him. I mean, you mentioned just Hopkins, but, you know, in front of that is Stephon Diggs, who had a great start in Buffalo, but it's kind of, you know, slowed down a little bit here, I feel like, especially as our offense has done so. Robbie Anderson has had a great season in Carolina. Again, they're starting to slow down. You know, behind him is Calvin Ridley, you know, the second option in Atlanta, so that's going to catch up to him. Allen Robinson's been banged up at the sixth spot, so there's a great chance here that he can, you know, really catch just everybody. The only one I'd worry about is Hopkins, but even then, you know, if the season goes on, if teams start to figure him out and start to, I mean, you can't do anything to shut him down completely, but double him and try to take him out of game plans as these games become more and more important, that could help DK because he's got other options on that team that could, you know, make things harder to just take him out completely.
That's a great spot. I'm getting involved in that. DK Metcalf, FanDuel, most regular season receiving yards, plus 500, get in the mix. Carver High and Mafia here with you. We're in for Scotty all week. Farrell on the bench, 844-843-6879. We'll get into a little MLB and more. Farrell on the bench rolls on right after this.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you. because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia here with you this week. Scotty out on vacation, 844-843-6879. And I don't know if you knew this or not, Maf, but Major League Baseball actually started announcing like awards and stuff. Like last night they gave you like the finalists for the ones that matter. And then like under like the cloak and dagger tonight, they announced their Gold Glove winners. Not anybody cares about this stuff anymore. Maf, when was the last time you got busted up about Gold Gloves? I think people get more upset like when they give one to somebody. Like remember the year they gave one to Rafael Palmeiro and he played like, you know, six games at first base. The Gold Glove has become so dopey. I just thought that of all the nights, and we know there's obviously other things going on in the country tonight, of all the nights to have a big television presentation for the Gold Glove, good job by MLB to pretty much get hidden on all of it.
Yeah, I think that's why they chose this, you know, partially, though, because they say, you know, we were talking at the beginning of the show about how no live sports tonight. So, like, hey, no live sports, let's fill the gap, not realizing, you know, something that kind of precludes that and people care more about no matter if they're sports fans or not. But, right. Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's kind of gone by the wayside. That's why they didn't do the MVP, Cy Young, or any of those tonight. They did the Gold Glove because really cares, you know. I think the players get more worked up about this than the fans. I don't think any fan really sits there and, you know, gets upset when their guys win the Gold Glove. Is with Gio and you know, the Red Rocket not winning the Gold Glove really upset you tonight, or did you not care? Because, well, you know, I think most people don't care.
I think it shows you even more like how silly they are, because when I saw that Clint Frazier was a finalist for a Gold Glove, yeah. But well, the Yankees are, you know, the Yankees stupidly barely played him, you know, half the year. They, you know, so how did he even play enough games to qualify to be a Gold Glover, especially off the year he had the 2 years prior? But it is what it is. Last night they announced the finalists, which is a bigger deal, I guess. But some of them are so easy, you know, like Bieber's going to win the Cy Young, and it kind of feels like Freddie Freeman's going to win the MVP in the NL. I thought it was interesting that Machado got the finalist ahead of Tatis. You know, if you're going to put a Padre player in there in the MVP voting as a finalist, you would have thought that maybe Tatis would have got in there ahead of him. But the one that's going to, I guess, spark the biggest debate is probably the NL signing. Do you really think your boy, Jacob DeGrom, should win three in a row? We saw some talk of that today. Irizarry was talking about it on Coast to Coast. Should DeGrom win three in a row, Mafia?
No. I mean, I would love him to do it. That'd be awesome. That'd be the only bright spot in the Mets season the last 3 years is him winning the Cy Young. So it's nice to always have that feather, but I just don't think he did enough. You know, of course he did his thing, but the team let him down once again, and they're over the course of a longer season, you know, would have had a chance of doing exactly what he did last year, where the team screwed up enough of his games, but, you know, his individual stats were enough over a long haul to be like, listen, that's impressive. You still got to give it to him. I think with the shortened season, what Trevor Bauer did, you know, in that little stretch where he was able to just go, you know, crazy and go, you know, as hard as he could for those couple starts that they all had, is going to work out in his favor. I think if you stretch that over a couple more months, I think Bauer might have trailed off like we've seen him do in the past. But given how we only had the 2 months, he just went all out and went crazy, and it worked out for him, and I think he deserves it.
Yeah, I think Bauer's going to get it. You hope that everybody votes Mafia based on the performance on the field. You know, that's what you want, because he obviously strikes a chord with people off the field. He's very outspoken. He says whatever he wants. You just hope that that kind of stuff doesn't get put into why you would vote for him to win the NL Cy Young. And you know, baseball, right? I mean, some of them have pretty weird reasons for why they do things. I just hope that those things with Trevor Bauer don't factor in, because he should win the Cy Young Award this year. He absolutely should.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's one thing you saw with the gold gloves that you're not going to – I think that's one thing that is another reason is passing by probably without much fanfare is that you're not going to have much debate because this year there wasn't any voting by the players and coaches. It was all about these sabermetrics, all these, you know, stats, the nerd stuff that none of us really care about. You know, it was hard to argue with just basic stats of this is why this guy won because he was better here, you know, as opposed to when you get ones like Cy Young and things like that where the stats might be slightly different and, you know, you get the human element of voting and they say, wait a second, well, why is that, you know, why is wins more important than strikeouts or ERA? And that's where those things will be bigger than this gold glove where it's like, yeah, he had a better fielding percentage, so obviously he wins.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just looking at the list of the guys that won the gold glove. I mean, Joey Gallo out and right for the Rangers. I mean, he's a hack out there, too. Joey Gallo winning a gold glove. I do want to get to this Deontay Wilder thing with you because you handle all the MMA and the boxing on Coast to Coast with Scotty every day. And of course, this week with Keith and the Wilder thing bothers me, Mafia. I hate guys who make excuses after the fact. He made excuses when he first lost the fight about the dopey outfit that he wore to the ring, that it was too heavy and that his legs got tired. And then he gets on Fury for not fighting him a third time, which Fury wanted to fight him. The fight was set up and, you know, a pandemic happened. So he was going to fight you and things just didn't work out. It is what it is. And then it got past the date of what was in the contract. Things happened, Deontay. And now, Mafia, now he's talking about Fury doctoring gloves, taking shots at the ref. What is the deal with Wilder here? Like, can this guy shut up and just go fight somebody and get the stain of getting his ass beat by Tyson Fury off of him? Because that's what he has right now. Go fight somebody and beat them.
I'll tell you exactly what this is. This is him trying to get back into that fight. And because he thinks that if he talks enough trash, people will be interested. And that's the reason why we're not getting this fight. Because they're not going to have this, you know, heavyweight bout between the two of them without a gate. You know, you've seen some fights go on, as we saw, you know, last week and in the last couple of weeks, they started to have some of these big fights again without fans or even just slightly fans last week in San Antonio. But if you can't pack a house for the heavyweight championship, they're not going to do it because there's not enough people that are going to buy it in the U.S., especially after they fought twice already. And he should have lost the first one and got a gift because of those two knockdowns and then just gets demolished the second one. There is no hype for it. There's no excitement for it. So you're not going to sell pay-per-views. So those promoters that, you know, have to pay you $30 million for the fight aren't going to do it. The same reason we're not seeing, you know, Golden Boy's Pride and Joy and Canelo fight at all, because it's not worth it for them if you can't get people there to watch it. It's not worth it to put it on pay-per-view or, in his case, the Zone. You're not getting your return on investment for what you got to pay the guy. So that's why they said, you know, with Fury and move him on and go fight Joshua. That's a new venture. That's something people will get excited for and sign up for and pay to watch. But unless you get people in the gate, it's not worth them putting Wilder and Fury again because it's not going to draw on TV. People know he kicked his ass, and they're not expecting it to go any different the second time.
But
or third time, like, technically.
You want to have people in the building for a fight like that. And this is why, and we praised them for putting this fight on free TV. When Lomachenko lost a couple of weeks ago, and that was a pound-for-pound, a great fight, all that stuff. But you want to know why it was on free TV? And you want to know why they did it during a pandemic? Because nobody would have cared if it was on pay-per-view. When you get a fight like Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, even though it would be the third time, people will go to that fight, Mafia. And you're right. They want a gate. They want people in the building. And it's the same reason why, I believe, Conor hasn't fought in the UFC. Right? I mean, this is why Conor didn't fight this year at all, because they couldn't have a gate for a Conor fight. And you mentioned it a few weeks ago when he's going to have this fight in January. Did they announce where they're having that fight yet? Are they still talking Texas? Because why are they going to have it in Texas? Because then they can have a gate and they can fill the place, you know, fill the place to what they can get, your concessions, get everything else. Guys like Conor McGregor, guys like Tyson Fury, you need gates for these guys. You don't want them fighting in empty buildings where they can't make any money off of it.
Right. Pay-per-view, you know, the model of it is not the same as it was back in the day. You have these services like now, especially with the UFC, with the deal with ESPN, they're not making, you know, all this money off the pay-per-view that they did before. They have you know, ESPN making the money off the pay-per-view. For them, it's more about the general broadcast agreement that they have with them. So they don't make that extra money. For them, it's the merchandising and the gate. And if you can't get people there, it's not worth it. That's why you saw the text messages between Connor and Dana earlier last year when the pandemic started. And Connor wanted to get back in, and Dana said, I'm not putting you in until we can get people there to watch you, because he wants to make as much money as he can. He wants to maximize the value of this guy, especially if he goes against a guy like Poirier who can beat him and blow up the stats there and, you know, ruin his next fight being a big draw. So they need to do it in a situation like that. That's why they brought up Jerry's World. That's why they brought up, you know, especially Texas. You know, Florida, you're not going to get the same kind of gate you would get in one of these Texas venues. So, yeah, it's probably going to be there if they can. I don't think they've announced it yet, but I think that's where they're aiming for if they can.
And he's going to wait on that because he knows he's only got a couple of fights left with them. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High, and Mafia. We keep rolling right after this.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
And we're back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia here with you. Scotty out on vacation all week. 844-843-6879, the number to get involved. All right, Mafia, I've held out long enough. Okay, I've held out long enough. There is action tomorrow night, and that action is Maction, baby. The Mac is back. Their classic, beloved Tuesday and Wednesday night college football games, which bridge the gap from Monday night football to Thursday night games. It returns. Now, this week, they put all the games on Wednesday. Then next week, Mafia, they'll split it. 3 Tuesday, 3 Wednesday. So that way, we are going to be covered with pigskin every night of the week. But I love these Maction games. And I know it's you don't know the teams that well. Once you start watching them a little bit, you get a little bit of a better feel for them. But I'm not going to lie to you, Mafia. I'm not going to sit around tomorrow night when I'm looking for something to get involved with and not play these MAC games. I'm playing them. So I'm trying to do as much research as I could possibly do. Remember watching some of these teams a year ago, and I'm going to get involved. So you got to love, Bob, you love having the Tuesday and the Wednesday night MAC games on late night. Come on. It's a good time.
I mean, it gives you something to get involved in. Like you said, it's a situation where otherwise you're sitting there bored and you're like, well, what's there? You know, you're watching reruns of stuff because half the stuff hasn't even, you know, taped new episodes yet. But it's tough to get involved too much with these, especially before you haven't seen the play. Like, this is a situation where we've seen the same thing with the you know, the Mountain West, the Pac-12, the Big Ten, where, you know, these situations are so messed up. It's not even like you just say, okay, well, you know, this is what they did last year, this is what they have come back, all this. Like, how many of these schools were starting to practice and then get shut down and then all of a sudden, you know, think they're done and they're just going to class and all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, nope, you're going to have a season, get back on the field. You know, so we don't know how they've gone through with this, how they prepared, how many times they've had to shut down for, you know, some guy testing positive, who was out for a couple, you know, weeks of a week of practice or something like that because they tested positive or came in contact with somebody. It's very hard to handicap college football in general this year, especially these smaller conferences. But you know what? We're going to do what we can. We're going to look at them. We're going to try to find an angle here and try to get some action.
So I'm going to start with the first game, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern tomorrow, Eastern Michigan, Kent State. We've got basically, Mafia, 3 games with some smaller spreads and 3 games where we've got teams laying a lot of sticks. So let's start with Kent State and Eastern Michigan here. -4.5 on FanDuel right now for Kent State. Enormous total, biggest out of all the MAC games, 66.5 in this game. Let me give you something here. Kent State 5-0 against the spread in their last five games against Eastern Michigan. Both of these teams not picked to do very well in the MAC this year. The preseason polls, Kent State fifth in the East and Eastern Michigan sixth in the West. So not good schools last year. Kent State a 34-26 win over Eastern Michigan. I think when I just look at those things and just listening to those numbers, Mafia, that sounds to me like a nice way to go. -4.5 Kent State. They've covered five in a row against Eastern Michigan, who historically is always the worst team in the MAC.
Yeah, and I think that Eastern Michigan, from what I've seen, has to replace, you know, a bunch. They got to replace their quarterback. They got to replace their offensive coordinator. But the quarterback that they have coming in is actually a guy who, you know, played a little bit last year, not much. Got some action, looked good in it in one of these games. So he has, you know, a little bit of an edge over a situation where you would have had a guy coming in fresh and having to learn everything in the offseason when you didn't have spring practice, when you didn't have the same kind of training camp you did. So I think that helps him out a little bit in this game. Although I'll definitely give the edge to Kent State and probably ride with them. If it's only, you're saying it's 4.5 right now in that game?
4.5.
All right, because that was, you know, that was up to 6.5-7 earlier. So I'll roll with Kent State then, because their quarterback's coming in here, and he's a guy who, you know, had, from what I'm seeing, had a great season last year. They get 20 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions. Like, he doesn't turn the ball over. He keeps care of it. He's a veteran. If it's down to 4.5, I'll ride with them. If it was up at 6.5-7, I might have to go with Eastern Michigan and take the shot on the new kid, you know, coming in there and having a good game and at least covering. But I'll go with Kent State if it's down to 4.5.
Western Michigan and Akron, the other game at 6 p.m. Eastern, -18.5, Mafia, for Western Michigan right now on FanDuel. I'll give you a trend I like for that one. Western Michigan, 6-2 against the spread in their last 8 games against Akron. 4-1 against the spread, obviously, on the road. The game's at Akron, of course. Western Michigan picked to finish kind of middle of the pack in the West. Akron picked to finish last in the East, Mafia. Last year, they actually haven't played in a couple of years because they're on opposite sides. So I can't really go with that. I don't like going with past performance unless it's in the last 2 years, because these kids move, as we know, with college. They're in and out so quickly. Hard for me, Mafia, for a first game of the season. And we did this, you know, a month ago. The first SEC games, the first ACC games. A lot of points like that. First game of the year. Teams may be coming out slow. I might be inclined, especially at home, to lean towards Akron getting the 18.5 tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm definitely leaning towards Akron in that situation, because another one where, you know, you look at what they had last year and you're losing a lot on the other side to Western Michigan. They lost, you know, their top quarterback, their running back, both guys who had big stats for them in this conference last year. Akron started to put things together a little bit towards the end of the season. They were terrible for most of the year, started to get a little bit better, but, you know, still as bad as they were last year, laying that many points in a messed up season as it is, I can't get behind that. I'm going to go with Akron in this game to cover. They'll probably still get blown out by double digits. I just don't think they're going to get blown out by, you know, 3 touchdowns.
7 o'clock Eastern tomorrow, Ball State at Miami of Ohio. -1.5 for Miami of Ohio. Closest game on the board, total 55.5. Let's see what kind of trends we got for this one. Ball State 5-1 against the spread in their last 6 on the road. Miami of Ohio 8-1 straight up in their last 9 games at home. Both of these teams picked to do pretty well towards the top of the MAC, Mafia. Past performances here last year, Ball State, they put the beating on them. 41-27, Ball State beat Miami of Ohio. And the year before that, Miami of Ohio whacked them 42-21. So maybe home team here. I kind of like the over. I like that over trend. Maybe over the 55.5, because a couple of these games, you know, they're going to be zany and there's going to be points scored here. So I think I kind of lean Miami of Ohio in the over here tomorrow, Ma.
I'm going to go with Ball State this one. This is a team that's returning a lot of guys. They got 17 seniors and 5 grad transfers. So they have a lot of veteran leadership on this team. They didn't have a good season last year at 5-7. But like I said, you know, you get those guys in there that have been in the program, that know what you're doing. It's a lot better for them to come into a season like this where everything's been, you know, thrown off and you haven't had the same kind of practices. I know that, of course, you know, Miami of Ohio is a trendy pick for a lot of people usually. They won the MAC championship last year. But I'm going to go with the veteran-led team in a crazy season here. And, you know, go with their opponents in Ball State and covering that 1.5 and winning outright.
Buffalo, the next game that I'm going to go to, they've been picked to win this thing a couple of years now. Like you said, Miami of Ohio won it last year. So Buffalo -13.5 on the road at Northern Illinois. Buffalo 6-1 straight up in their last seven. Northern Illinois 5-0 straight up in its last five games at home against Buffalo. So Northern Illinois have been beating them at home, Moff. That could be a big thing to look at. In fact, listen to this. Northern Illinois just absolutely beats up on Buffalo. They have beaten them 12 games in a row, Mafia. This goes back a long time. But, you know, in the last couple years, they beat them in the MAC title game in 18. They beat out at one point in low-scoring games, 30-29, not too low-scoring, 14-13, 45-3. So for this total that we're looking at, 52.5, it's going to be right around there. Maybe Northern Illinois at home tomorrow, Moff. 13.5? Seems like they play him pretty good. Buffalo never really meets expectations in the MAC. Could be a Northern Illinois play for me.
Yeah, I'm going to middle that game for sure. Buffalo will probably win the game, but I'm definitely going to Northern Illinois, getting all those points at home. It's another team that has a guy that's been there before, a quarterback who knows what he's doing. They got to replace their backfield this year, but they, you know, playing at home, they have the veteran experience behind center. That's very important in the season for me. And you know, as I've pointed out multiple times now, that's something I'm going to ride if I can. If you got to bring in a kid who only has 1 year or less experience and try to get things going with them, it's something that's going to hurt you. You need the veterans. You need the guy who's been there 3-4 years, who knows the programs, knows the system. Like you said, Buffalo's another team. You know, it's a team that they're predicting to win. They always do around there at the top of that conference. But I just don't think that with this wacky offseason, them coming in on the road in their first game is going to be something where they could just light it up easily.
7 o'clock Eastern tomorrow, Ohio at Central Michigan. The Chippewas, always a favorite. Ohio -2.5. Road favorite, 57.5 the total. Couple good ones here, Mafia. 5 of the last 6 games in this series have gone under the total. And Central Michigan, 6-1 against the spread, last 7 games at home. And they're 8-1 straight up last night against Ohio. So they've beaten them 8 out of 9 games. Last year, they didn't play last year either. 17 the last time, 26-23. This is Central Michigan for me all the way, Mafia. Getting 2.5. at home against this Ohio team, and I will lean towards the over with the 57.5.
Yeah, I'm with you right there with Central Michigan. Ohio is replacing their quarterback. You know, the best guys they have is a UNLV transfer, and, you know, it's sad when that's your best option at a quarterback, even if you're in the MAC. You know, UNLV is not a school that you want to pluck anything from if you can. And you got a, you know, much better coach on the side of Central Michigan and McElwain. I know he had his issues down in Florida, but we know this guy has won before. You got Charlie Fry. How about him as offensive coordinator? The Charlie Fry coming in there.
Charlie Fry.
I like them. I like the coaching that they have, studying things in this crazy season. They got, running backs who know what they're doing, who racked up tons of yards last year. I just don't like Ohio in this game trying to restart in this terrible offseason. I'm going to go with Central Michigan.
Final one, Mafia, of the Maction Wednesday that we're going to have tomorrow night. Toledo -23.5 against Bowling Green. Bowling Green beat them straight up last year, Mafia. Give me the 23.5 with Bowling Green. Carver High and Mafia. Pharrell on the bench. We're in for Scotty all week. We roll on right after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty all week. 844-843-6879. The number to get involved. We were just talking about the Maction. Before I get away from it, Moff, I did put together. Here we go. The 4-team parlay for tomorrow night. The Maction action here. Kent State money line. Miami of Ohio money line. Buffalo money line. Central Michigan money line. The 4-team Maction action. 100 gets you 562 plus 562. The 4-team Maction parlay for tomorrow night. Let's get it, Mafia. There we go.
Because playing those games straight up isn't risky enough. Now we got to get parlays in the MAC.
I'm getting parlays in the mix. Money line parlay. There it is. The 4 teams we're going with. We're staying away from the big spread games. We're going with those 4. That's the Maction action parlay for tomorrow night. A couple other things, college football. Wisconsin off again, Mafia. They're going to have another game canceled this week. They've still got tons of positive COVID tests. 15 players, 12 coaches. They're not going to play their game. I believe it was against Purdue is the game that now is getting canceled this Saturday. So that's two games canceled for Wisconsin. The Big Ten, because they started so late, they built in no buys. So these games are not getting made up. But that's just it. So Wisconsin now is going to play two less games than everybody else in the Big Ten. If they miss one more, Mafia, they will not be able to play or qualify, they should say, for the Big Ten title game. Obviously then college football playoff, et cetera, et cetera. So the main thing is obviously that the kids get healthy, but Wisconsin now, Mafia, they're going to be on the sidelines for a couple of weeks here. And with that many cases still in the middle of this week, they've got, 10 days to try to get that all in order before they have to play again? That seems like a very tough chore.
Yeah, especially considering that the Big Ten is, seems to be one of the more stringent ones with the 21 days as opposed to what we're seeing in the SEC with Johnny Sunshine is 10 days. At least Clemson's doing a little bit more than they're required to by the SEC and running these extra heart tests to make sure nothing's, going to affect him for the rest of his life and have any issues with myocarditis and all that other stuff. I applaud them for that, considering they have a big game this week to say, we're still going to hold you out. But, I mean, the Big Ten is very crazy and stringent. Well, not going to say crazy, but very stringent with their protocols where you have to sit out a lot longer. So that 10-11 days is going to be tough to make that up. I mean, that's terrible for Wisconsin. This is a team that was, one of the favorites to win that side of the conference and, good chance to win the conference in general, maybe make the playoffs. And now you have a situation where their whole season is basically taken away. And it's just the nature of 2020 and what's going on with this virus. And I don't know if you – I'm sure Wisconsin fans aren't happy about it, but I guess you got to give the Big Ten credit for putting health in front of football and finances. But that's going to decimate that team and what they were supposed to do this year. It's going to take it all away, and it's going to be, all for naught. It's going to be, even if you get back after, let's say, you just cancel two games, and then you can't lose any. If anyone gets sick again, you have another outbreak, well, then your season's done. Or what's even more likely, given, like we talked about, the 21 days you have to wait, is that you're probably going to have a mediocre chance at best of playing next week. So if that game gets canceled, and you're out of the Big Ten, and you're out of, and you're running for the title game, like your season's over before it even starts, like, what are you even playing for? Why are you risking it? How many guys on that team that are going to have any kind of NFL draft prospects are even going to show up for the season if you get to a situation where you can't play for anything?
Yeah, their next scheduled game now after this one gets canceled this week is Saturday the 14th. They have a night game at Michigan. Wisconsin at Michigan, 7:30 game on Saturday night, November the 14th. So we'll see. They'll have 10-11 days here to hopefully stop the spread, I guess you could say, throughout their team. They clearly have not been around each other now for a few days or at least a week, right, since this outbreak with the quarterback started happening. But and you mentioned you brought up their Mafia and their side of the division. And that's going to get very tricky, too, because let's say they are back for that Michigan game and they finish the season off. They're going to play two less games than everybody else. And if they'll go, 5-0 or 6-0, whatever it is, maybe they should have just did one big division like the ACC did this year to kind of keep it fair to everybody. I don't know. It seems like a little tricky way. Everybody else kind of got rid of the divisions for this year because of a situation like this could happen. And now Wisconsin's sitting here and they might have an opportunity to win that side of the division with only playing a couple games. So a lot to look for in the Big Ten. We know that we're going to have Notre Dame and Clemson on Saturday night as well. We'll get more into that as the week goes on. And I think we're also going to have, Mafia, me and you, some good Thursday and Friday night games. So we did the Maction games tonight for tomorrow. Tomorrow night, we'll start to dive in to some of those other games. I had to bring this up to you, Mafia, because we've talked about this a lot. About the Warriors leaving Oakland and doing all. Did you see the jersey that they released? Whether I think it was yesterday or today, and everybody in the NBA's got 15 jerseys now, but the Warriors released a new one and it has Oakland written across the front of it. Mafia, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't the Warriors like ditch Oakland? Like they left them in the dust? Like they were in Oakland forever? They built this brand new palace in San Francisco to go play in. So now they're going to go play over there, but they're going to wear Oakland on their jersey. Mafia, what are they doing here? What kind of hypocritical stuff is that?
They're rubbing salt into the wound. That's what they're doing. I mean, it's amazing that they're doing this to me. I mean, it's not surprising, though, because it's all you ever see from these teams is more and more stuff to try to get more and more merchandising money. It's all what it's all about. I mean, when I was younger and you were younger, it was – and that's not even saying much because we're not that old, but it's – you know, you had your home jersey, you had your away jersey, and then maybe you had the third jersey. Like your Islanders had the Gordon's Fisherman for a bit. You know, the Rangers had the you know the Lady Liberty from Richter's helmet. And, you know, you like the third jerseys, and they pulled them out every now and then, but it was fun. And now you have the throwbacks. And now you have the third jerseys or this home alternate or, you know, this month jersey. It's ridiculous how many different concepts they come up with for every team. How many times, you know, have you seen it that, I mean, I know I have, where you see some social media posts about, hey, this new jersey from this team. I'm like, what's the difference from what they've already been wearing 10 times before? Like, I don't see any difference. You're just giving something else out there that you want me to go buy now and get more money out of my pocket because it's not enough that you overcharge us for tickets and concessions and everything. It's insane, but it's such a slap in the face for them to pull out an Oakland Forever jersey when they left Oakland because you're not obviously there forever. You went to the rich side of the bay, went to San Francisco. It's the same thing as you saw the Nets doing the week before that where they pull out the old New Jersey Nets, you know, tie-dye colors and court to go with it this year. Yeah. With Kyrie and Durant playing in Brooklyn. Are you kidding me? It's such a slap in the face to all these fan bases that you left. You know, what's next? We're going to see Oak City throw out the old Supersonics jerseys for one game? Come on.
It is getting a little ridiculous, but I just thought that was just an awful
Colorado look. Pulling out Nordique sweaters? Come on.
Yeah, which bothered me too. Remember we did that when they wore those. I think it was either one game last year they wore those, and I was upset about that.
But didn't Carolina wear the Whalers one time too?
Yes, and that was what bothered me the most because Carolina started this. They didn't care anything about the history of the Hartford Whalers, the jersey or nothing. And then they realized, oh, look, we can make a couple dollars here. Let's go start wearing the Hartford Whaler jerseys. And then Colorado said, oh, look what they're doing over there. We have absolutely nothing. We have never even recognized the history of the Quebec Nordiques. But guess what, guys? The marketing department says that we're going to sell X amount of jerseys if we wear them for one night. They go and they wear the Nordique jersey. Bothered the hell out of me, Mafia. When both the Carolina one really bothered me because the Whale, you know, legendary in the Northeast. The Hartford Whaler jersey, playing at the Civic Center down there in downtown Hartford, getting their team swiped away from. I get it. Not a big market. Probably couldn't survive in today's big, you know, professional sports franchise situation, but I love the Whale, and that was such a money grab by the Hurricanes when they did that. Awful job here by the Warriors to put Oakland on the front of their jerseys. And just to stay with the NBA, Keith brought this up at the end of hour one today on Coast to Coast, and it was interesting. Moff, this is going to be, I want to see Adam Silver really buckle down here with these players because they don't want to start in late December, Christmas Day. We know the day that they want. That the NBA wants, and the players don't want to do it. I want to see Moff Silver buckle down here and tell his players, this is when we're starting, end of story. You've got guys on a bunch of teams who haven't played since March. All right, I get it. The Lakers and the Heat, they just finished. It's a short turnaround for them. Well, all right, LeBron, take the first 2 or 3 weeks off. It is what it is, Moff. I want to see. You want to start Christmas? You're the NBA. You're in charge. Go ahead and do it. If all the teams are into it and the players aren't, I want to see the league stick to this.
Well, you won't have to see him. I mean, one, he can't do it, but you won't also have to see him do that because all they have to do is talk to all the players and say, listen, as they've already started doing the media, if you delayed a month, we're losing $1 billion.
Yeah.
Where do you think that money's coming from? You think it's coming from our pockets? Nuh-uh. It's coming from yours. And while LeBron and Harden and some of these other guys can sit out because they make all you know a ton of money and they have a ton of money banked and they can say, you know what? I could take a couple weeks off. There's no problem. I could lose, you know, $5 million of my salary. It's not going to affect me that much. The average NBA player can't. And this union isn't just about the stars. The stars run it. Those guys are in charge, of course. But there are a lot of other guys that make a lot less money that cannot sit out an extra month and lose, you know, a third or, you know, quarter or fifth or any of their salary as opposed to these stars. And those guys aren't going to pony up the cash to make it up to those guys. So the most of the union is going to say, that's when you want to play? Fine, that's when we'll play. And then guys like LeBron and them can sit out. You know, Kawhi's going to sit out anyway, no matter when you start. So he can go
He'll
sit out
anyway
a couple weeks and you know he can relax and rebuild his body to go losing the playoffs again anyway. And that's what you're going to have. It's going to be first couple weeks is basically going to be the JV squads out there playing, and that's fine, and we'll get it, and we'll watch it, and we'll bet on it, and then the stars will come back in January.
And look, and you know, if Christmas Day is the day, and you usually want to put your marquee matchups on that day, especially if it's going to start the season, and if LeBron and Kawhi, if they don't want to play ball, the NBA is going to be in a tricky spot. Do you still schedule them on those days? Because you know that they're either lining up a Laker-Clipper game for Christmas Day to start the season, or maybe with the Warriors back now. And you know it, Moff. The Warriors are back, baby. Get that future ticket going. Warriors are back. You know they probably want to put a little Warriors-Lakers. And I'll tell you this. Warriors will show up Christmas Day. Okay? Steph Curry and Klay coming off the injury. Draymond, whoever they draft, the Warriors are going to show up Christmas Day and play. Whether LeBron plays or not, you know that the Warriors are going to show up, Mafia, because they're ready to go. They're one of the teams, the handful of teams, that did not get to play in the bubble. They're raring to go. But go ahead, put the Warriors on Christmas Day then.
Well, you know, you could do too. If you don't get enough of the people saying they want enough of the players, and if you want to avoid the stars sitting out actual regular season games, then have like a little preseason tournament with these teams that didn't get to play. You know, have the Knicks and the Golden State Warriors and these teams that didn't make the playoffs or the ones that got bounced from the bubble early. Have them start the season, you know, as a little preseason tournament that you're talking about doing in Chicago at this other point. Get them going so they can catch up to these other teams that were playing, and then start the season in January if you want to try that. Otherwise, you're going to have the stars sit out, and then you just have to deal with whatever you're going to deal with, because you can say that they can't. You have all those rules in place, and they just say, ooh, my leg's hurt. And that's what it's going to be. It's going to be some kind of fake injury.
And this Warrior future, too, Mafia, it just keeps flying up the board. It's now at plus 850. When they opened it the day after the season ended a few weeks ago, they were at plus 1,200. So the Warriors have been getting a lot of action to win the NBA title next year. I already have my ticket. I hope that they win it. It'll be good to see. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia. We're here with you, 844-843-6879. We will come back. We will wrap it up with Morenci. And Gabe, Sports Rage Late Night coming up next. We'll close the book with Morenci here on a Tuesday night. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia. Be back right after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High, and Mafia in for Scotty all week. We close it up here with Morenci, Sports Rage Late Night coming up next. Gabe, listen, no sports tonight live. There's a lot of other things going on, as we know. But I'm pumped here, Gabe, because tomorrow night we get the Maction back, baby. And I want to hear it, Gabe. Give me one play here for the Maction tomorrow night. I'm trying to get involved. I got big spreads here, Western Michigan. I'm looking to get involved in Miami of Ohio. Give me a little Maction tomorrow, Gabe. Come on.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, and good to be with you, Carver and Mafia. You know, obviously it's a big night tonight with the election, but as I tweeted about an hour ago, no matter who wins tonight, we're all going to be watching and betting the MAC tomorrow, and we're going to be betting on the MLS. We got six MLS games and six MAC games. So whatever happens tonight, our life goes on, guys. And I'll tell you what, one game that I'm looking at, and you know, interesting football game here, is that Ball State game. Ball State, 17 returning starters. There's a lot of excitement right now around this program, taking on Miami of Ohio. But, man, Miami of Ohio are just one of the staples of this conference, as you guys know. You know, you're laying a point and a half for the defending conference champions that have a ton of guys back as well, including Brett Gabbard, Blaine Gabbard's brother. I don't know. Brett Gabbard, it's like, you know, the guy in Tennessee, these quarterbacks, Carver, it seems like they all have like 8 years of eligibility now, bro. But, yeah, so Gabbard's back again. He's a good quarterback. Miami's a good football team. I know there's not going to be fans at the stadium, you know, at least not significant amount of fans besides, you know, family, et cetera. But I don't care. You know, to me, I get it. Ball State are going to be a good team this year, but it doesn't mean they're going to beat Miami on the road in week one. Give me Miami of Ohio.
Let's go, Maction, baby. All right, Gabe, have a good show. We'll talk to you tomorrow night. Morenci, Sports Rage up next. Carver High and Mafia will be in for Scotty the rest of the week. We will talk to you then. Good night, everybody.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.